Good morning, everyone.
It is great to be together. I hope that you had an incredible Thanksgiving and great Thanksgiving meal. We got to celebrate with my immediate family as well as some great additions. We had my sister's fiance join us for Thanksgiving, which is really cool. Yeah, my sister's engaged. That's pretty cool. It's great. It's, you know, it's her big brother. You know, you just gotta scout him out, but they've been dating for a while. He treats her real good. Don't worry, guys. Don't worry. I know you all got my back as we have her back. But it was great to be able to be together. We had some of our family friends join us too, and always lots of good food, right? Hopefully you had a great meal together. And one of the things that we ended up talking about as we were sitting there is, and I didn't know this, they were talking about the origins of Thanksgiving. And where did Thanksgiving come from? How did it start being celebrated? Because I remember as a little kid, right? You're going to school, and they tell you it's like the Pilgrims and the Indians and all the, you know, all that the stuff with that. And I'm like, yeah, like I remember doing my hand in the shape of a turkey, right? That's what Thanksgiving is about. Thanksgiving is about the turkey hand, getting some feathers, but. I was kind of shocked to know that the institution or the celebration of Thanksgiving started with Abraham Lincoln. And it was a day, I guess he proclaimed it as a as the Civil War was starting to take a turn and it looked like the Union was going to be victorious over the Confederacy, just as a way to say we should be thankful. Right, that God has allowed us to be a unified country and for us to be together. And I was like, whoa, I never knew that. I got to share the fun fact with the church on Sunday. So hopefully you guys are thinking about the blessing of Thanksgiving and the unified nation that we are able to be, even if it doesn't always feel that way. And I'm sure some of your Thanksgiving conversations may have been very polarizing, too. But anyhow, so today we are here to close out our series on thankfulness. And so far we've talked about being thankful for salvation. We've talked about being thankful in prayer, being thankful for trials. And today I think we're going to talk about what can be the hardest for Americans, at the very least. And that is being thankful for the blessings. Being thankful for your blessings. You know, it's like it's one of those things. Everybody wants a blessing, but we're not always grateful for them. And I think I can see that in my own heart, my own attitude, as I continue to get older. There are things that I think I've always just taken for granted because I didn't see the price tag that was attached to them. Right. If you're the one who's making all the food for Thanksgiving, if you're the one who's sacrificing and buying all the things, you understand there's a cost that comes with it, as opposed to someone who's just showing up. You know, OK, I did help a little bit. I peeled some potatoes and did some things and helped, you know, do some stuff around the house. But you don't see that side of things that, well, there's actually something that's going on behind the scenes. It's easy to take the work that someone else has done for granted. And that in this case, right, as we're sitting here today, that person, that thing that we may take for granted, ultimately, it could be God. And so that's what we're going to look at today, because we're going to look at an example of someone in the Old Testament where this guy, he took for granted what he had. He took for granted what he had. And he didn't recognize that the blessings that he had, that they came from God. And I think this is important because whether you are a Christian today or whether you're someone who's just visiting, you're trying to explore what a relationship with God can look like, it's important for us to take the time to count our blessings. Right? Grateful people, you enjoy life a lot more than those who complain. But the two things that our texts are going to kind of touch on that can be the source, I guess, of ungratefulness for our blessings are, one, to not appreciate what we have, And two, is to think that we earned all the things that we have. And we may not realize that they're blessings because we think, well, my own strength acquired this, and we cut God out of the equation altogether. Because God is the source of all blessing, and all good things that we have, even if God allowed us to be a part of the process in acquiring them, everything is from Him. And so we're going to turn to Daniel 4. If you could start reading with me in verse 29. And we're going to read a little bit about this king, Nebuchadnezzar. And he's a big name man in history. And he has this dream. And in this dream, he's this tree, you know, he's pictured as kind of this tree, and the tree gets shattered and knocked down. And Daniel, the prophet Daniel, comes and interprets this dream for him. And he basically explains, hey, a time is coming where you're gonna be a little too big for your britches. You're gonna feel like, oh, I've done all these great things. I've held everything together, and God is going to step in and humble you. And so that's where we're gonna pick up here in Daniel 4, starting in verse. We can start in verse 28. It says, "All this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he was walking on the roof of the royal palace of Babylon. And the king answered and said, 'Is not this great Babylon, which I have built by my mighty power as my royal residence and for the glory of my majesty?' While the words were still in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven, 'O King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken, the kingdom has departed from you, and you shall be driven from among men, and your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. And you shall eat grass like an ox, and 7 periods of time shall pass over you, until you know that the Most High rules the kingdom of men and gives it to whom he will.' Immediately, the word was fulfilled against Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from among men and ate grass like an ox, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven until his hair grew as long as eagle's feathers, and his nails were like birds' claws." So what do we see, church? You know, I think you look at a man named like Nebuchadnezzar, and he has, I think, what most of you, you know, maybe you wouldn't want necessarily the responsibilities that might come with running a kingdom. But here he has, he's worked hard and he's built something great. And you see that he's proud of what he is. And many of us, right, when we feel like we've accomplished something, is there anything wrong with us taking pride in the things that God has worked and done through us? No, not necessarily. But what was his fault here? His fault was that in the blessings that he got, in the blessing that he had, he totally missed God's hand. He totally missed that God was the source of all things. I think that's something that we need to remember, is it's easy for us to be grateful for things, but even, well, not always, but even when we're grateful for things, it's dangerous when we fail to acknowledge God in them. It's very, very dangerous. Because you see this, even the most powerful people, those who have all these incredible, great wonders, without acknowledging that God has been the one working and moving, what we've done is we've built everything up, we've built our confidence, our power on us, on what we can accomplish. And I think you got to appreciate, you know, God working. You know, here Nebuchadnezzar, if you look through the biblical story, he's blessed, really, you know, in some ways, in spite of himself. And it's cool that you see God. God works and he will bless people who are kind, but God will also bless those who are wicked. And that's one of the great things about the God that we serve, is God is someone who is unconditional in his love and unconditional in the way that he pours out his blessings on the good and on the wicked. But what you see here, though, is that sometimes God will act and intentionally remove some form of blessing from your life. And I think, you know, sometimes it's when that happens, it's easy for you and I, right? It's easy for you and I to get really, really upset at God and say, God, how could you take this blessing from me? Everything was going great until you removed this one key piece. I thought I had everything sorted out. All my ducks were in a row. There were no problems. Okay, we never think there's no problems, right? But it can feel that way, like, God, this one little problem, this one little thing has ruined everything. Don't tell me that you haven't let one thing going wrong ruin a whole, let's just say a whole day of good things. Right? Sometimes one thing ruins everything. And so we look at this, and what really stands out to me as we read this text is that sometimes, and this is sad, sometimes we're not grateful for the blessings that we've been given until they're taken from us. You know what I'm talking about. You know, it's like those times where, whether it's something simple like, man, like if you're home and your power is working and everything's great, the minute it goes wrong, that blessing that you had, now you feel like it's a right. Like you're entitled to it. I am paying for this power. I am entitled to this power, right? And in some ways you're like, well, I've got a point, right? I am paying for this. It should always be working. But it ruins our whole heart. It ruins our whole perspective. But we don't realize that we are the ones who haven't, like, okay, yeah, but this is a blessing that we even have access to this to begin with. You know, sometimes we end up taking people for granted, right? How many times have you know, through the course of your life, and I'm sure that if you are a Christian right now, I'm hoping that this has decreased. I'm really hoping that this has decreased. But at some point in your life, you've probably taken someone else for granted. And until that person walked out of your life, you realize, man, I had a good thing. I can't believe that I messed that up. How could I do that? How could I take that for granted? And sometimes that person just, you know, they leave, they walk out. Other times it's, you know, unfortunate and someone has passed away. And you look back with regret and say, man, I wish I had just taken the time to appreciate what I had. To appreciate what I had. And I think that's one of the most beautiful things that you see here. Is with Nebuchadnezzar, God is not trying to be a mean God by taking away this blessing from him. God is not saying, okay, I've made you into a beast. This was actually for Nebuchadnezzar's good. If you look at it, here he was making himself out like he was God. And God said, okay, well, you're trying to promote yourself up here. Well, let me just downgrade you to beast. And you see, right? I'm sure you've been through times like that, too, where, you know, that when that blessing is taken away, that ugly comes out in you. That beast side of you. The part of you that's screaming, that's yelling, that you're just, you can't stand, you can't hear reason at all in your life. You know, somebody tries to have a civil conversation with you and it's like you're just all over the place. And so here he is. Nebuchadnezzar is in this state, and the scriptures say that he's in this state for seven times. Seven times. Now, we don't know exactly. It doesn't specify what those seven times were. A lot of people think it was 7 years. Whew, could you imagine 7 years? Like, I mean, 7 years, you got your hair going crazy, your nails are growing out, you know, you're sitting there, all you're eating is grass, you know, you're living in the fields like an ox, and some scholars, guys, this is ridiculous, they actually, apparently there's a mental illness or something where if where you can be diagnosed. It's like something where you basically take on the persona of a cow. Yeah, crazy, right? But that's, you know, some people have tried to say that. Okay, maybe, maybe not. I don't know. But with this, what we do see is seven. Seven biblically actually has a very big significance. You know, the number seven is the number for completeness. And so as you're reading your Bibles, this is just some free helping you to go deeper in your Bible stuff. Okay, as you're reading your Bibles, if you see the number seven, okay, it usually has or can have that significance of being complete. And that's also true if you see a multiple of seven or multiple sevens. Just I know it's off topic, but with that, okay, what I want you to understand is that seven there, that number seven, is that this man, Nebuchadnezzar, had to take the time that he needed in his craziness. God let him be a wild beast like that until he had a heart change, until he had a perspective change. And so in the same way, God may not have you in that crazy state for 7 years per se, but he will have you in that state for the complete, the seven symbolic, the complete amount of time that you need until you get a heart check. Until you recognize where we stand before God. Because the Lord is constantly trying to get your and my attention. He is working so that we have a right perspective of who we are and also a right perspective of who he is. And so really, that's something as we're thinking about this, you know, God working and taking away our blessings. If you want to understand, right, if you want to understand whether or not you take the blessings in your life for granted, I want you to think about what is your attitude when something doesn't go the way that you want it to, or when something that's been there that you've considered good is removed from your life, or I'll say something that you consider that is just a part of your life, a right that you have, a fundamental thing that you believe you should have. If you have an attitude shift, it shows that maybe there's something in your heart that God is trying to get your attention to, God is trying to get your attention about. I think that's a hard thing to think about. That's a hard thing to think about. God is working and moving and drawing us to him. I mean, we are so blessed beyond belief. You know, I think one of the things that really encourages me about this verse is that even though Nebuchadnezzar is humbled, you know, so to speak, God doesn't tear down the whole building. God doesn't chop down the whole tree. He leaves a little stump there. And I think that's cool because God, as he's trying to get your attention, all he's doing is he's trying to chip away the rotten parts so that you can grow back healthy. So you can grow back as a man or woman that God has called you to be. And that's a great thing about his mercy. And so what we see is that even though there are periods of time where God is going to humble you so that you can appreciate the blessings that you have, right? It's a gut check right there. It's a reality check right there for you and I. There's also another way. And that's ultimately what we see, and this is kind of the cheat sheet, right? We don't want to have to go through a lot of those times where God is taking these blessings from us to kind of help our heart, help our perspective. But we want to get to this end piece, because where Nebuchadnezzar ends up is really, really special. And I think that's one of the powerful things when I think about God and the way that he works. And we're going to continue reading here. We're going to continue reading, but, you know, I think this is something I've wondered about my own heart. I think as I interact with people and especially working with the youth, you know, I've thought about this question a lot. How do you help someone Teens, I'm talking to you right now, right? You are part of this conversation. How do you help someone who doesn't realize how blessed they are to see their blessing? And I think, you know, part of it is what we've been talking about. Sometimes we need to lose some of our blessings. Sometimes we need to lose some of our privileges. Parents, you do this through disciplining your kids, right? Many of you take their phones away as a part of that, to realize that it's not something that they're entitled to, but it is a blessing that the Lord has given on them. But a lot of times we can take our relationship with God for granted. We can take the cross for granted, right? And sometimes if we see this, right, we take the cross for granted. It's not until we sin and do something crazy that we all of a sudden realize our need for grace. We realize our need for a Savior. And so we go to Him. We're called to Him. And that's one of the great blessings that we have, is God sometimes is working through our mistakes, through our sins. But let's read here in Daniel as we keep going. In verse 34, it says, "At the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven, and my reason returned to me. And I blessed the Most High and praised and honored Him who lives forever. For His dominion is an everlasting dominion, and His kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing, and He does according to His will among the hosts of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. None can stay His hand or say to Him, 'What have you done?' At the same time, my reason returned to me, and for the glory of my kingdom, my majesty and splendor returned to me. My counselors and my lords sought me, and I was established in my kingdom, and still more greatness was added to me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, for all His works are right and His ways are just, and those who walk in pride He is able to humble." And so what do we see? We see someone who, from this experience of their blessing being taken away, getting to a place where they look up to heaven, right? Because sometimes that's what it takes, right? You're stuck in the challenges. You're stuck in the things that aren't going the way that you may want, or the thing that's been taken from you. You're focused on that. But when we look up to heaven, when we have a heavenly perspective, when we're looking at God and how He is working and moving, and how He has the pleasure to the power to both bestow and take away blessing from us, we understand who we are. We understand really what we have power over, what we can control, what we can't control. And we surrender to Him. And so when we're in this place, and this is how you can really check your heart here, because if this is the response that you have right now, then amen, you are where God is calling you to be. Right? What is His response? The proper response to God blessing you is you blessing God back. Okay, now what in the world does that mean? Because somehow I have a feeling, I don't know if I've ever heard a message that talks about blessing God. I mean, maybe you have. I don't think I've ever heard this topic even really touched upon, or at least with those words. I know we sing some songs about it. You guys know the song, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul." No? It's too modern for Kevin. So we sing songs like this, but the idea, the response that we should have to God's blessing is to offer God praise, to glorify Him. So when God blesses you, if our hearts are where God wants us to be, what's our response? We praise Him. We bless Him. When God takes away blessing from us, what's our response? We praise God, and we learn to appreciate during those times those blessings that God has given us. Now, I'm going to keep saying this over and over again because it's easier said than done, right? It is far easier said than done. And I think I think as I look at my own life and the things that I've taken for granted over the years, just being able to be in a house that both of my parents are still together. You know, I'm grateful even, you know, my grandmother's here today. She's 97 years old, you know, still walking about. Being able to have times where I can laugh with the people in my life. Being able to get an education. Having, you know, I feel like teens, you are a blessing to me. And you bring me a great source of joy. I'm thankful for you. You know, I love you guys to death. But sometimes it's the hard, the things that are easiest for you and I to take for granted are the things that have just kind of been there. They've been there all along. And so, as we get ready to close out today, what's been your attitude towards God's blessing in your life? Now, I know that none of you want to go through a crazy period of time like Nebuchadnezzar did. And, you know, if we leave service today and you're out there eating grass, we'll know that you need some help. Somebody will come over to you. But if by chance the Lord does not make you like an ox or like a cow, please, before you leave here today, talk to someone. Say, you know what? I've been really having trouble with being grateful for what God has blessed me with. You know, it's so easy for me to think that one, I am the person who acquired, who built my empire. I own everything, and so it's all mine. I am great. I am awesome. But when things don't go my way, I've got an attitude about it. Or it's easy to overlook the things that you just consider an ordinary part of your daily life. And I pray, guys, that we can have, and that's one of those things. You know this. You see this in your relationships with people. Right? Parents, and you have a special window into this. If your kid ever says thanks to you for something, it's like a miracle of the Lord. Right? You give and you give and you give. If you're at work and your boss says thank you for one of the incredible things that you have done while you're at work, it's like, oh, yes, so good. The Lord is upon me, blessing and blessing and blessing. And so, as children of the Most High, please, my brothers and sisters, I pray that we can have that same attitude as we go before the Lord each and every day. Because Thanksgiving should not be a thing that we only do once a year. But each day, God has called you to be thankful for the blessings that He's bestowed in your life. So let us pray and let's think about what can you bless God for as He has blessed you? As you pray, what is God? What can you thank the Lord for? As you think about your own attitude, what in your attitude needs to change so that you have the perspective that God is calling us to, that God moved in Nebuchadnezzar's heart to help him see where he is before the Lord? Let's pray. Father, we are so humbled to be able to be here, to glorify you, to honor you. I know that there is so much in our lives, and we'll probably never get to a point where we're grateful for all of the things that you've done, because you outgive even what we're able to perceive. You know, God, you are a God who blesses us for this in our prayers as you answer our prayers. And you're a God who blesses us for things that we don't even have the good sense to pray for. You are a good father. And so I pray, God, I pray that you can help our hearts, that as we're going through life, that we can appreciate what you've done, and that we don't have to wait until it's gone to see that you have given us good. And that when it's gone, we can have that heart, that mindset, Father, that you have worked powerfully. And that amen, let's appreciate what we had for the time that we had it. And continue to bless you for the new things that you bring into our life. We love you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.